Grasping the Mystery. The main roadblock to a cosmic mind is the assumption that the mind is always tainted by its subjectivity. Subjectivity is alien to data and numbers, the stuff that makes science a viable activity. General agreement is reached by studying the facts and nothing but the facts. In consciousness studies, however, objectivity is classified as a separate variety of human awareness, known as third-party consciousness, meaning that any third party can come on the scene and agree with what has been observed. For example, consider a team of geologists picking over the ground at Point Trinity, the spot in the New Mexico desert where the first atomic bomb was exploded on July 16, 1945. The first geologist spies an unusual mineral lying on the ground. As they examine it, the second geologist agrees that it looks like nothing he's ever seen before. The rock specimen is tested by other geologists, and a consensus is reached. The enormous heat of that first atomic blast created a mineral unknown anywhere else on Earth, which they named trinitite. The desert sand, composed primarily of quartz and feldspar, was fused into this glassy green residue, which is mildly radioactive but not dangerous. The discovery of trinitite neatly conforms to third-party consciousness. By eliminating all subjective reactions, known as first-party consciousness, objectivity is assured, or so they say. There is also second-party consciousness, the you, that sits across the table from me. Second-party consciousness is almost as untrustworthy as first-party consciousness, since two people can share the same delusion. No one has shown how to go from two observers sharing the same experience to actual objectivity. Throwing out any reference to consciousness except for the third-party kind is enormously convenient if you're a physicalist. It also sweeps a huge amount of experience under the carpet, all along saying this is the only way to do science. Looking around at the modern world, which was built on science and technology, one is looking at the vast possibilities of third-party consciousness. You can see why science is so eager to throw out first-person consciousness, the eye of everyday experience. Rembrandt can say, "That's my self-portrait," but Einstein can't say, "That's my relativity." If you want some relativity, get your own. Yet by making third-party consciousness the norm, we wind up with a science fiction world where no I exists. To see the weirdness of the situation, try walking around and referring to yourself only in the third person. He just got out of bed. She is brushing her teeth. They seem reluctant to go to work, but they have to put food on the table. It cannot be denied that subjectivity is messy. But it's also how experience works. Things happen to people, not to pronouns. Naturally, every scientist has an I and a personal life. But in the models of reality developed by physics and modern science in general, the universe is a third-party experience. As John Archibald Wheeler famously said, "It's as if we look at the universe through a foot-thick piece of glass when what we should be doing is breaking the glass." An unconscious universe is a dead universe, while the universe that human beings experience is alive, creative, and evolving toward magnificent structures that are even more creative. If the latest data from the Kepler Observatory are valid, the number of Earth-like planets in the observable universe may be as many as 1 followed by 22 zeros. The enormous number of planets that might sustain life could be proof that a conscious universe is expressing itself many times over. The argument about how humans evolved on Earth can't be settled as long as consciousness itself remains a mystery. When we talk about it, consciousness needs to be clear, reasonable, and believable, No mode, first person, second person, or third person, can be banished. There must be a level playing field, with no pronouns playing favorites, just because they can get away with it.